Hello, guys, and welcome back to a new episode of the Gloves On podcast. We're your host, Alexander Brams, and alongside me is Marcus Sundin, as always. And today, we welcome back, after almost 2 years, Oliver Christensen. Marcus and I just talked to him for about 35, 40 minutes. It was a bit longer episode, but we had so much to cover because first, when we talked with Oliver, he was the second choice goalkeeper at Hertha Berlin. Then now he's playing at Fiorentina and it's the first choice. You can hear his story within that. You can hear how he prepared for games and you can hear about his trip to the World Cup with Denmark. So Marcus, what do you think was some of the most interesting points in this podcast?
Yeah, it's, as we said in the podcast too, it's always nice to have previous guests back on the podcast to not only see how they've done since the last time, but also to have again a different conversation on goalkeeping, different perspective, and just do what we love, you know. And I have two takeaways from today's podcast. And one of them is obviously Oliver's amazing opportunity to go with Denmark to the World Cup in Qatar. He tells us a little bit about how that happened. Obviously, he had a great season with the Hertha Berlin. And then he actually tells us how he received the call from the national team coach. So that was a fun little story and some great insight there. And then obviously another key takeaway for me today was when we talked a little bit about the different style of goalkeeping, him being a Danish goalkeeper, not only going into Germany, but then also more significant going into playing in the Italian league. We talked a little bit about how he might have been in a comfortable environment back home in Denmark to now being in a more business orientated, a more performance orientated environment in Italy, where you have to perform every single weekend, not only in the Italian league, but also in European tournaments. So another great episode with another good friend of the podcast. So just a genuine conversation between three goalkeepers.
Exactly. It was really good. And guys, you can just stay on this line, as you say, and you can listen to the podcast here. Make sure to go follow us on Instagram whenever you want to. We're Gloves On Podcast. Leave a review if you like this episode. And otherwise, see you in there. We are back with Oliver Christensen. Oliver, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you guys?
I'm doing pretty well. Marcus, how are you?
Doing good, yeah. It's good to have you back. It's been a while, but it's always good to have previous guests back on the podcast.
I'm also happy to be back.
Perfect. Yeah, it's been a while. It's been approximately 1.5 years, and we just talked before this that we're going to try to every 1.5 years to get an update how it's going. And a lot has been going on since we had you on last time. If people haven't heard the podcast, go back, find it, listen to when Oliver made the move from Odense to big Hertha Berlin and how it was being there. And at then you were the second choice. And since then, a lot have happened. You become a first choice. You were at the World Cup with Denmark and now you are in Fiorentina playing. So Oliver, tell us about the journey from when we last talked with you, where you were the second choice and you were accepting being the second choice in Germany because you were content with the plan they gave for you and then you coming up and being the first choice after.
Yeah, since we talked last time, I think it was around also in during the winter, maybe. I'm not sure, but I got the chance during a relegation game against Hamburger Sportsverein, and then it was a playoff game for regulation, and we made it through, and I did pretty well in those two games, and after the break, and we stayed in the league. I got the chance to be the first goalkeeper in a Bundesliga club, and like we also talked about the last time, that was the plan for me. That was why I moved to Berlin, and we executed that plan quite well, I would say. becoming the first goalkeeper and did quite well that season, even though it didn't end that well, my first season as a first goalkeeper and in the Bundesliga. So yeah, I worked a lot and yeah, it's about patience. When you're a second choice, you have to wait till you get your chance and try to make the best out of it when you do. And yeah, that was it is a difficult game to be patient all the time and try to put in the work every day and try to improve. But yeah, and I was very happy with how it all got sorted out in the end and got the chance to be first goalkeeper in a top five league. In also a quite young age as well. So I was pretty content with that.
Yeah, that's surely impressive, being first goalkeeper in a top five league and being for a old traditional and nice club like Hertha Berlin. It's amazing, and unfortunately you guys relegated last year. But that being said, you did so well that you got called up to the national team, the Danish national team, and you were going to the World Cup in Qatar. We don't want to talk about how Denmark went because some people are still angry with how bad it actually was. But talk us through, first of all, the kind of like practices you had up to being called up, and then when you saw Kasper Juhlmann call you, and then you realized you were going to Qatar to the World Cup.
Yeah, I got called up the first. Previously, I was also called up to the national team, but I was during COVID, so there were some traveling regulations that happened, and suddenly I came in. So it wasn't the first time I got called up, but it was the first time where I was the third choice, and I was of course very happy the first time. I did quite well during the trainings and tried to integrate myself in the team. And of course, when you go as a third goalkeeper, you get the chance to prove yourself, because you are the one who is doing all the finishing training with the strikers, and you're doing the extra work after the trainings with the players who want to practice the finishing and the free kicks and whatever they want to do. And I think I did quite well, and I think the more important thing is that you're doing well in your club, and I had a very good period in that time. Also, we had as a team actually in like the beginning of the season, we were like 11th, 10th in the Bundesliga with Hertha, I had very good games, didn't concede a lot of goals, and just happy that I got called up for the most important selection, the World Cup selection. And, I was actually on my way home from a game against Bayern Munich. We lost 3-2 at home. I see I'm on my way home with my girlfriend, and I see the Kasper Juhlmann called me, the national team coach, and I had my mom, my dad, my brother, and my girlfriend was all in the car, and I told them, get out of the car, because I was just home, and I was pulling up in front of my house. So I told him, quickly, get out of the car. They said, why? The national team coach is calling me. I think it's probably about the World Cup. And they said, okay, we're going to. I dropped them off like 100 meters from the house, because in Berlin I had like a park garage. Yeah. So it was like 300 meters away from my house. So I had to drop them off anyways, but I dropped them off a little bit earlier so they could just walk to the house, and yeah. I took the call, and he called me up, and I remembered very clearly. So yeah, it was a quite It was a quite nice experience also afterwards, of course, being with my family. Of course, we lost the game. I was, of course, a little bit upset about that. But when you get the call up for the national team, the loss against Bayern Munich, just, yeah, I forgot it immediately and was just happy to get called up for the national team for the World Cup, which is, I think, is every boy's dream. It doesn't matter if you are the third goalkeeper or the first goalkeeper or the 25th man in the squad, it's a dream come true and an award for all the hard work you put in over all the years. So yeah, it was quite a big moment.
Just a little, whenever I mentioned this last time, whenever I saw you first time, you were like 12 years old, and then imagine 10 years later, you're at the World Cup. That's crazy. Just a little guy with a dream and wanting to work hard with guys who are 3 years older than him, and then suddenly he's in the World Cup, right? That's, when you look back at that, it's pretty surreal. And
my father, you
and,
so
and yeah. Yeah, we had a podcast earlier with, I think it was Jesse Joronen and Lukas Radetzky, and they were talking about, Jesse was talking about that he's just, being on the national team is just a pride, and you don't really care if you're the first, second, or third goalkeeper. Like, if you do that too much, it's like you're not appreciative of where you are, and you're just there to represent your national team, and the pride and everything is, I can hear that it's the same that you felt.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's like a special feeling when you go with the national team, also being around the other guys, and you always have a good time when you are with the national team. I think also the guys who are playing outside of Denmark, they always appreciate to come back to Denmark and be able to talk Danish, and like the guys have like the same dry humor as we Danes now have, and I think. I think it's just such a nice experience, and of course, just being able to walk out in the national arena and the parking to feel like the excitement and the atmosphere that brings, it's just a lovely feeling. Also, singing, of course, the national anthem and hear it and sing it in parking is special when you are down on the pitch too. Like absurd.
I could imagine. Amazing. All right, we're gonna carry on. Unfortunately relegated with Hertha Berlin, but then something pretty nice happened. Like, you probably had a few different offers. We don't have to go into detail with that, but you ended up signing a contract with Fiorentina in Firenze, Italy. How was that? Like, going there from Hertha?
Yeah, I think like of course I heard some different things from my agent, but it wasn't I think we had a pretty clear idea of what we wanted, and if we couldn't get that, then I would gladly have stayed in Berlin for another season or two or three or whatever, because I was really happy with my time in Berlin, and I felt home and welcome there, and I think that's also very important for a player, and I think that still I think that the club has a big potential, so I was pretty happy with what I had, so I wouldn't risk it for anything. But as soon as I heard of the interests of Fiorentina, then it was pretty clear that if we could make that go through, then it would be the number one choice, because it's a big club, and it's a club that is known for developing players into top players. Yeah, they get great talent, and then often they develop the players into stars or top players. Also, if you just look at this transfer window, which players and which clubs they have sold those players to, and then you get a pretty clear idea of how the club is being run, and and what their plan is when they're buying players. They want young talent, they want young raw talent, and they wanna form them into great players, and then they have succeeded pretty well with that over the years. So that was an extraordinary opportunity, I would say, getting in my situation, because we did relegate in the last season. I did play good, but if you're just looking at the stats, because some clubs they only buy players off of stats, and if you're looking at the stats, it was probably not in my favor. Because I conceded a lot of goals, but I think they watched a lot of my games, and they knew that I was playing on a team that was struggling, and playing for a club that was struggling, and they saw something in me that they found interesting, and I was happy to get the opportunity to come to a great club like Fiorentina. And yeah, it's a great opportunity for me, and I'm still very happy with the choice I made.
And also living la bella vita.
Yeah, life is good in Italy, and I think also, like, for my career, also trying to experience playing in a European competition is also quite good. You get an idea of how hard it actually is to play every third, fourth day. And you really have to be able to plug out when it's necessary, because you don't get a lot of time. I was the last the first 5 years of my career, I've been used to playing one time per week. You had like a pretty good idea of how that week was going to go, and after the game you evaluate how the game was, and you get it out of your system, and you continue to work towards the next one. Here, you have to speed up that process a lot, and that's I think that's a great experience for me for the future to try to do that now.
100%. That's I love the insight, and we love hearing stories like this on the podcast. Oliver, I want to talk a little bit about the last time we had you on. We talked about the difference in goalkeeping style, Denmark compared to Germany. Obviously, you growing up in Denmark, the Danish way of goalkeeping is a certain way, and then having to transition to the German way. And as far as I know, that wasn't the biggest difference. We are quite similar to the German goalkeepers, but now going into the Italian style, obviously we've talked about this a few times on the podcast, had Italian guests on as well, talking about Attacabala, all these different styles of goalkeeping. I mentioned on the podcast a few episodes back in the time I trained with Cittadella over a weekend, where I went to Italy to train with them and see how different that was, and training with an Italian goalkeeper coach to see his perception on goalkeeping. Obviously, Alex as well has a great insight into that. So I think that could be a little curious and interesting conversation to have. How do you see that Italian goalkeeping style being a little bit unique?
Yeah, for sure. It's very different from German goalkeeping. I think in Italy you work a lot more on the footwork, the leg work, which is like the whole basis of Italian goalkeeping, is to have a good fundamentals when you move from A to B, and the movement in general inside of the goal. And I think they're a little bit more they're a little bit more what do you say, decisive, and maybe not decisive, but they are very particular in what they want from the goalkeeper, also in the way of the movement. There is one way, and that's the Italian way. Not that I'm unhappy, but that I think is very interesting, and I love to learn new things. And I think in Germany they have a little bit more free room to find your own style. In Italy, they are very, yeah, like I said, they're very particular. They know exactly what they want, and that's the way that you have to do it. And that's quite interesting. But I like it, and I think if you can master the Italian way of goalkeeping, then you have very good chances of being a great goalkeeper because it is so. Yeah, it is. The movement is essential in the goalkeeping. We all know that if you have good movements, you can get from A to B very fast, and then you have a bigger chance to save a lot of balls, and that's what it's all about.
100%, and you obviously now have great experience growing up the Danish way, then being a goalkeeper a few years in Germany, and then now obviously learning it the Italian way. What I took away from my training session in Italy, which is a few years back now, so as everything else in goalkeeping, it obviously changed over time, but that goalkeeper coach I was with was very strict on always kind of attacking the ball, even in your saves. So we obviously always learn to save the ball in an angle, but I mean, even here, it's not about the ball coming to you, it's you diving towards the ball. You know, even when a shot arrives, you're not just there to save it. You actually have to kind of attack the shot. And that's something I find very, very interesting, because that's you closing down the angle, you know, and you obviously always, as a goalkeeper, wants to make the angle smaller and smaller for the striker, so he has less space to put the ball past you, obviously. So I think that's one of the aspects where the Italian goalkeeping is doing a great thing. And then there is obviously other things where, when we have grown up in a different style of goalkeeping, where you say, oh, I might not agree on this, but I mean, that's the beauty of it as well. You take the kind of things that you want to develop and involve into your goalkeeping style, and then you keep what you already have as a good thing within your own goalkeeping, you know?
Yeah, for sure. My goalkeeper coach here in Fiorentino also want us to always attack the ball, and of course, when the angle gets smaller, then he don't want us to attack the ball. But when it's always like you have drawing up lines from when you are within the posts, you always have to attack, go towards the ball before the shot goes off, and then of course, try to break down the lines by attacking the ball. And I think also they are a little bit different in how they in the crossing on the movement, and then they want the goalkeeper more to dive towards the ball. Like again, they want the goalkeeper to attack the ball also on the crosses, and to dive a little bit more, which for me was a little bit different. But I see when he explains it, when they explain it to me, I see the benefits of it, and that's it's a lot of new things and a lot of new information for me, and stuff that I haven't heard before, but I'm starting to get a hold of it, like the last month, the last 1.5 month, to try to like adapt to it and try some things off. But I'm very happy with my development so far and the Italian way of goalkeeping.
Love it, and I think that's the beauty of goalkeeping. As I mentioned, there's so many different ways of being a goalkeeper. You know, it's, in my opinion, our way of being a goalkeeper in Denmark and growing up is very, like, it's basic, you know. It's a lot of volleys to the hands, is using your feet a lot, obviously a lot of footwork, yeah, a lot of basic stuff. And then again, going into certain countries doing their own way, you know, and what I'm trying to say is the fact that there's not only one way of being a goalkeeper. I mean, every single goalkeeper in the world is different, you know, and I'm sure that your goalkeeper coach, even though that he might want you to do something different than you're used to, it doesn't mean that he thinks you're doing something wrong, you know, and And that's an important aspect as well for goalkeepers, not only to say my way is the right way, but to also adapt to the goalkeeper that you are coaching, you know, and having a different mentality on that. But Oliver, something I wanted to dive a little bit into as well is the fact that back in Denmark, when you became pro for the first time, had great season with the Odense, we had your current goalkeeper coach at that time on for an episode where we actually, I think that episode in itself was centered around you and your time at the club and how he, even at tough times, always believed in you and always gave you, I wouldn't say benefit of the doubt, but always give you the kind of comfort to prove to you that you were the first choice and I want to work with you to become an even better goalkeeper coach, to now obviously being in a Italian environment where you're playing in European tournaments as well, where it's a tough world. It's performance after performance. And if you don't perform, it's someone else there taking that spot. So how do you see that difference? And every goalkeeper is different. How do you see yourself adapting to that? For example, comparing a little bit of a comfortable environment in Denmark to now, not only in Germany, but more importantly in Italy, where it's you have to be spot on every single, not only training session, but games even more important. You know, you have to perform.
Yeah, obviously that's a great question, because like I don't think that people understand how much energy it takes of you to like prepare to a game, close the game down, and then within now at the moment, within 3 days, you have to like process all that. Added the late nights, because now we're playing a lot at 9, 8, 7. I think one time this season we played at 3 o'clock. Otherwise, all the other games we played after 6. So as some people might know, and that you for sure would know, that when you play the late games, you don't sleep that well when you come back home. And often we also, like for example, in the weekend we played in Milano at 20:45, and departure from the stadium at 12, going with the train back home. So we arrive at the training facility at 3 in the night, and then go home, sleep. You get up the next day, go to training, and then you begin. Now we play tomorrow again, and then it's Thursday again. So it's actually quite a long time we had compared to what we usually get. But like, it's really difficult and it's really hard, and I can understand why some guys sometimes they get a period where they don't perform, because they are just like, they're just mentally dead. They can't focus, because they're just so tired of not of playing the games, but for all the other aspects of traveling, the late nights, and I think the sleep is pretty essential to perform and to be sharp in your mind. And when you play 3 times a week at 9, then there's 3 times a week where you don't sleep before 3 or 4 in the morning. And that's something that I learned, and now I tried it on my own body, and really see that this is really tough, and makes me think of also all the other team, like the best players in the world. Some of them have done this for, I don't know, 10, 12 years, and I think it's pretty fascinating that to have that determination and that focus every single day in the game, to be so focused. That's pretty admirable, I would say. And yeah,
definitely, like
it's great. But it is tough. It's really tough.
I could really imagine. So what do you do? This is like a 2-point question. So what do you do? Do you stay up late and sleep long throughout the morning on match days and other days? And how do you stay mentally ahead? And okay, maybe, yeah, go and then I'll ask another question.
Okay, like I would say when we, for example, if we get home late, and often then we train in the afternoon afterwards, so we can like get some sleep. So I would say when, for example, against Milano, we came home at 3. So I come home, make myself ready for bed, I go to sleep, and probably woke up around 11.
Mm-hmm.
We had the day off on Sunday. We had the day off on Sunday. So I wake up around 11 because I could have slept longer, but I don't want to sleep until 1 or 2 because then, and we all know that then when 11, 12 in the night comes, then I can't sleep. So I try to wake up a little bit early and then try to put in a nap like for 45 minutes during the day. So I try to stay fresh and then, hopefully get a good night's sleeps before training Monday. And that's what I'm trying to do. Often we don't have the day off. So we would train around 3 o'clock. So I would do the same, like get up at 11, eat breakfast, then go to the club. We have a room in the club. And I'll go to the club, eat my lunch there, and then like chill for a minute in my room, and then go.
You have a room? That's crazy.
So that basically what I normally would do if we have the training afterwards.
Yeah.
And just try not to sleep past 11, even though we come home late, because it really screws up with your like internal clock. So that's
your rhythm, your sleep rhythm, your circadian rhythm, call it whatever you want. Yeah, interesting. And what time do you usually train? Because I work with Cristiano Viotti, who is also the first team goalkeeper coach of Lazio. So he knows you, obviously. And he said that they train in the afternoon, like at 3 sometimes. When do you train?
Yeah, I think like it depends. Either we train at 11.
Mm-hmm.
And
say that again. When 11 or
11 or 3 o'clock.
Okay.
That's like the two options that we have. We never train at night, which I like.
Yeah.
Much the night. But like for example, if we had a away trip where we come home late, then we would obviously always train at 3 o'clock, like try to get the sleep in and then go to training. Of course, the guys who play, they have they would be on the bike, get the treatment, do some work in the pool or whatever. And the guys who haven't played, they would go on the pitch and have a normal training.
Okay.
Yeah. And then sometimes it would be like the two following days after a late away trip would be at 3 o'clock. So like you try to catch up for the lack of sleep that So I think they're doing it quite well. We also like honestly, we have everything. We have like a nutritionist. We get taking samples of our piss and our shit and all that. they're really thorough with that. I would say
they know if you've had too much fried chicken or something like that.
They would know. it's not like on a weekly or monthly basis, but they check it like.
Mm-hmm.
We get like the right supplements, the vitamins, yeah, what whatever we, yeah. So like they also they do everything for us, like to try to optimize everything, because they know that our bodies and our minds are working over time most of the seasons, especially when we are during the European competitions.
Yeah, it's really crazy how much there is outside of just playing the game. And a lot of people think it's just, oh, they just train and then they just play a game. Why is it so hard? Blah, blah, blah. But we can hear here that there is a lot more to it than just playing a game and just going to training. There's all the, I think we had it last year when I was studying here in Rome. It was, they call it the invisible training, which is what you're doing right now. No, nobody can see, but he's drinking a green smoothie because he has a game tomorrow. So he has to fill up all his storages within his body with all the right nutrition and so on. So keeping on from that, I know you're going to dinner with the team now because you're playing tomorrow at 9 against Genk, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so how do you prepare for this? This is going to be the last thing. How are you going to prepare for the game? Obviously, you have dinner now, and then how are you preparing tonight and tomorrow before a big game where it's, you have 11 points and they have 6?
No, I have 8 and they have 6 points.
All right, close enough.
Hopefully tomorrow it would be 11 points and they have 6.
Ah, yeah, I saw into the future. It's 8-6-6. Yeah.
You're just one day ahead of the... Yeah.
Let's say that.
I hope. Yeah, of course, now I would... Yeah, in approximately 1 hour, I would go to the training facility to eat the dinner with the team. After I will go back to my house, I would sleep here. Tonight, I don't know, just maybe watching movies, like maybe play a little bit, play with my guys. And yeah, I'll probably be in bed around 11, I would say, maybe 11:30, because we have a late game tomorrow. So I try to, I don't want to wake up too early. But I don't want to sleep too late either, because I like to have the nap in the afternoon. Yeah, so probably sleep until 9, get a good breakfast, get some water, maybe sit a little bit outside on the terrace if the weather is nice. And then I will go to the stadium to put my car. And then we would go with the bus together, all the team together, to the training facility. We have, like I said before, we have our own rooms in the training facility, so we sleep there. We don't go to the hotel. So it's like a hotel we have, basically.
Nice.
Yeah, it's quite nice. Yeah. And there we would watch video of the opponents. We would eat. We would... Yeah, like just fill up the body with water, food, supplements, whatever we need, and yeah, like I said, also a nap in the middle of the day. It's quite important, especially when you play late, so you don't fall asleep during the game.
Yeah.
No, but just so that you're sharp and ready to play. I like to sleep, to meditate a little bit about the game and take a nap.
Visualize and
yeah, exactly. Visualizing. Probably when I wake up, probably watch a little bit of video. We have like a, we could send material from the analytics. Watch a little bit of video of the other team's opponents. Like just not like a lot, like 5 minutes, just a little bit about the movements, which foot they are, and like what are they, like their favorite positions, like basic stuff, but just get an idea of who you're playing against. Of course, you never know who is going to play, but it's a pretty nice idea also, like to just watch some few sequences of how the opponents play.
Yeah.
And then, always before departing with the bus, I take a shower, starting with a little cold, wake myself up. Then afterwards, a normal shower, and brush my teeth always, and then depart for the game.
Depart for the game, and then you have some pre-activation, last-minute tactics, and then out to the warm-up.
Yeah, you have like a little bit of pre-activation with the physios, and then like have one or two exercises that I usually do before we go out for the warm-up, and yeah, then be good prepared and
mm-hmm.
with the warm-up, and hopefully our warm-up is good, and doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just go to warm up and then
elite mentality right there. It doesn't matter if the warm-up is good or not. Hopefully it's good, but if it's not, then you still have to go out and perform. You can't depend on a warm-up. I will go analyze your warm-up at one point in the stadium from the stands, and
you should do that.
Yeah, definitely. I love it. I was watching Lazio Roma, so amazing game first of all, and I was watching my goalkeeper coach and colleague, I would say, him doing all the warm-up with Provodel and the other keepers, and it was really nerdy. And I actually watched the Lazio Fiorentina last year in the stadium, and I know you weren't there, but during that warm-up, the goalkeeper, he was in the possession. Are you in the possession during the warm-up?
No.
Okay. Now he was that year, and I was just like, wow, okay, that's new, kind of.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I think we had a new goalkeeper coach.
Okay.
It isn't the same that they had last year. So I think he stopped that.
Mm-hmm.
Quite. Maybe it was his first thing he did. I don't know. But I never experienced that we are in the possession game during the warm-up.
No. I hadn't seen it before either. Now I've seen it a few times actually since then, that some keepers, they go in and then be the, you know, the final innebande. I don't know how to say
like
it.
Like the wall? Like
yeah, the wall. Thank you. Yeah, the wall. Yeah, perfect. Oli, we have talked for like 40 minutes already, 35, something like that. It's been really fun. Time has flown by. Amazing to have you on. Thank you for your time, and we wish you good luck in tomorrow's game, and hopefully it's going to be 11 points, as I now have predicted and seen into the future.
Yeah, that's perfect, and always a pleasure to talk with you guys.
It is. Thank you. And to you guys still listening out there, please go follow Gloves On Podcast on your favorite social media, leave a review, and share this with one other goalkeeper for them to keep improving. Catch you on the next episode of Gloves On Podcast.